Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Have we all had a good week?
Yes, thank you.
Enjoyed some of the sunshine. We made sandcastles. It was great. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. How deep is your love for us?
Father God, we come home and we want to collapse on the sofa. We want that piece of chocolate. We want our tea. We want that cup of coffee. But Lord, make us want you more. Father God, we come this morning ready to receive your Holy Spirit. Fill us anew, Lord. Fill us and use us to your glory. In your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you. You are great and glorious. You have shown your love, your mercy towards us in Jesus. Lord, we worship and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're handing over, in lieu of Carol, to the lovely Jan. I meant beautiful.
The ugly Jan, not lovely Jan. Good morning. Welcome. What a lovely day. Thank you for the worship. It's been really lovely this morning. Those songs were amazing. I did text her and tell her that you've chosen some good songs, Alice. Well done. Manchester yesterday, freezing. Freezing, seriously, freezing cold. Today, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, not cold. Can't beat God's own country, Yorkshire, can you? Oh dear, I'll upset some people anyway, saying that. Oh dearie me. Anyway, it's good to see you all this morning. And it's my happy lot to welcome you all into this church building and to welcome the people. I always say the other side of the screen and it seems a bit impersonal, doesn't it? But you're with us this morning, so much so that I feel I want to pray for you. So let's pray about for the people who visit us week by week, but not really in this building. So let's just a prayer for them this morning. Father God, I just want to pray for the people who watch week by week and for whatever reason can't get to this building. Could be all sorts of reasons. It could be illness. And if you're coming back to us, we miss you. It could be distance. There could be all sorts of reasons. But I just want to pray this morning for you at home or wherever you are, in whatever building you're worshipping this morning, you're worshipping with us. And I know in one of the songs it said, Jesus brought heaven down. Heaven is in this building and with you at the other side of that screen this morning. I'm sure of it. And Jesus is with us. Because we pray for you regularly. We love you and Jesus loves you. So we're thinking of you often. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus, we pray for you all. Amen.
Amen.
So, next week. Tomorrow, Monday the 29th, prayer and meditation is on Zoom at 9:30. But it's the last one until September. Is that's right, isn't it? That's what I've been told. Carol does a good job, you see. There's no ladies' meeting in the afternoon, and I think that worries them in September as well. Tuesday the 30th, no ARC until September, but the summer club will be each Tuesday through August. So it's at the same time, 1 till 2:30, summer club through August. Wednesday the 31st, there'll be a pray and pick, so it'll be prayer and litter pick. Meeting here at 11 o'clock. And then Thursday, the 1st of August, is lunch club, as usual, 12 until 2. There are no prayer meetings this week, but the singing at Treaton Grange is on the third Sunday, as usual. So just further ahead, Sunday, the 11th of August, there'll be a church picnic, so this building won't be open on the 11th of August. We'll be meeting, witnessing, hopefully, at 10:30 in Burgoyne Park. So there'll be no church service here. But bring a chair if possible, and if you've got a few extras and you can fit them in your car, then that'd be good as well. Monday the 12th of August is a tea dance, and there will be let's get it right. It's not a full tea. It is cakes and tea and dancing. So it's mostly a tea dance, but we won't get sandwiches. And it's, like Carol said last week, it's not a three-course meal. But I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It'll be lovely. Even if you just come and listen to the music, it'll be lovely, I'm sure. There's a donation of £2. If you want to come, there's a sign-up sheet at the back, please. That would be really good. Don't think there's anything else from me. If you want more info, the website page is up and running. Facebook is regularly updated. And thank you to the people who do that, because it's way above me. But thank you. So I think that's all from me. Thank you.
Okay, so today is the last in our mini series on Psalms for this summer. We do actually have summer now at the end of it. And like with all the Psalms, the exact date when it was written is uncertain, but it is believed to have been written during a period when the Israelites were facing difficult circumstances, possibly during the siege or invasion. So this one that we're going to look at today is Psalm 121. A little bit of background before Tony comes up and reads it. It is one of the songs of ascent, which is a collection of 15 psalms, Psalm 120 through to 134, that were sung by pilgrims in the view of the mountains of Jerusalem, on their way to Jerusalem. So these psalms express a range of emotions and themes relevant to the pilgrims' experience, including reliance on God's help and anticipation of worship in Jerusalem, which is where they were going, and a sense of unity among the worshippers. So, just going to ask Tony to come and read it to you.
In the Pew Bibles, in the Church Bibles, it's page 516. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. You will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Tony. Tony's read from the Church Bibles, obviously, but some of the verses I'm putting up will be from the NIV, partly because the difference in some of the words, I think, strengthens what I'm saying, or what God will hopefully speak to you. So before we think more about this psalm, we've already heard Alice talk about Girls Brigade and such fun experiences there, I'm sure. How many of you like going on holiday? Well, I'm sure. Oh, look, hands up. This is like a school. Who likes exploring different places? Or do you like to go back to the same one every time? Yeah. How many of you enjoy going to the seaside? Look, find a nice, peaceful, tranquil sea. No people there. Peace and quiet. Or maybe you like exploring the countryside. To walk, to sit, to relax, to enjoy being with family and friends. So, just invite you to bear with me for a bit and consider how you might feel on a journey. This is obviously countryside, not too far from here. Wasdale Head to the top of Skelfell Pike, which is in the Lake District. So imagine, I'm good at imagining. Imagine setting off early in the morning. The air is crisp, the sky is a brilliant blue, promising a perfect day for walking. So as you begin your ascent, the path winds through lush green valleys and along babbling brooks. I couldn't find one with brooks, you'll have to imagine. The initial part of the walk is relatively gentle, allowing you to warm up and take in the stunning scenery. So as you climb higher, the terrain becomes more rugged, paths steeper, views, however, become even more breathtaking. You see the surrounding peaks of the Lake District with the dramatic crags, serene lakes, and sense of accomplishment as you grow closer and closer to that summit. On a clear day from there, you can see as far as Scotland, Wales, Ireland. So the feeling of standing on the roof of England, surrounded by such natural beauty, is truly unforgettable. I think it would be unforgettable. I'm not keen on climbing that high, so I might never know. But for those of you who have, being able to look out on such magnificent scenery, on God's amazing creation, you've gone prepared. You've got your food, you've got your snacks, you've got your drink, you've got sensible walking shoes on, and you've got everything you need. And by the time you walk back down, you're content, you're happy. Now the hills near Jerusalem, the Jerusalem hills or Judean hills, are no taller than this Skelfal Pike. In fact, some are a bit shorter. But it was and could be a very different experience for people back in Old Testament times to walk up their hills, their mountains, even in large groups. The journey to Jerusalem, especially for those coming from distant regions, was fraught with challenges. Yes, the difficult rocky terrain, not proper shoes, probably, natural hazards, and worse still, there were threats, potential threats from bandits and other hostile forces, which you wouldn't get if you wanted to climb in the Lake District. So the words of this psalm would have resonated deeply with the pilgrims as they looked to the hills, as they looked to the mountains surrounding them. Still absolutely beautiful, God's creation. The psalm's emphasis on God's constant protection, his unwavering vigilance and enduring care would have provided reassurance and comfort to the travellers, strengthening their faith and resolve as they make their way to the holy city. A reminder to trust in God's protection. These pilgrims sought divine protection and guidance as they travelled to the holy city of Jerusalem to participate in religious festivals such as Passover and Feast of Tabernacle. So even us today reading this psalm, it's a reminder for us to trust in God's protection, this timeless message of God's faithfulness and watchful presence, which transcends the specific historical setting in which it was composed, offering us hope and encouragement for all of us who seek refuge and strength. So this psalm, is likely to have been sung in the evening before people retired. And it starts with verse 1 and 2, very different. If you've got it still in front of you, we will look at this in a minute. But verse 1 and 2, a lament. It's very different to the rest of it, which are words of assurance. Some commentators interpret this as a dialogue between a pilgrim and a priest. First two verses representing, you know, the pilgrim in his distress, and the rest being assurance. Or, you know, David has written these to as encouragement. So we can look and learn from God's word in this. And I've found 3 points I wish to look at. First one being God's ever-present compassion. The second, God's unfailing protection and grace. And the last one, God's eternal keeping and blessing. So, we're starting at the beginning. because it's a good place to start. So the psalmist begins by declaring, I lift my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Do you read and understand this as a statement of trust? Or of somebody expressing a sense of anxiety and uncertainty? The phrase, I lift my eyes, actually expresses a sense of desperation and vulnerability rather than confidence and trust. The same phrase is also used in Psalm 123, another of these psalms of ascent. And here it conveys utter helplessness. I lift my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Those who are lifting their eyes liken themselves to slaves who are completely dependent on their master's response. They are crying out in lament, pleading for mercy because their suffering is too much to bear. And here in Psalm 121, we have a similar situation. Now mercy remembers compassion and forgiveness towards those like us who don't deserve it. So confronted by dangers, by troubles, by perils, symbolised by mountains as well, the psalmist declares that his help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So these verses remind us that our help and strength comes from God alone, creator of the universe. It emphasises God's unfailing compassion and concern for all of his people, regardless of the challenges and obstacles we face. So how well do you know the Lord? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do you want to know him more? If you don't know our Lord God as your Lord and Saviour, then do speak to one of us before you leave, or if you're online, then contact us. It's important to know God well, to know the Bible well, because in different situations we are encouraged by him, by his character and actions. Sometimes we need a shepherd to guide us. Sometimes we long for a light on our path to show us the way. Sometimes we need a mighty God who can conquer mountains for us. Do we turn to God when we face difficulties in our lives? Only you can answer that. Do we truly believe that God will be there with us? He wants to support us. And the writer of Psalm 121 refers back to creation. That's relevant to their situation, but is to us as well, knowing that the Lord made heaven and earth can provide comfort. But if God created the whole earth and holds it in his hand, he is far greater than any troubles and difficulties we may face. He is far more powerful than all the powers and the natural phenomena of earth. For him, no problem is too great. When he is with us, nothing can separate us from his love. That is why the psalmist says it aloud. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now many of you will remember a children's song. Let's see. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. I would do the actions, but we won't do that. But we teach our children, don't we, from a young age, how amazing our God is. But do we always remember that when we face difficult times? I wonder which characteristics of our Lord God most appeal to you. You can think about that. If you were to complete this phrase for yourself with truths from the Bible, what would you say? My help comes from the Lord who? Yeah, you could call things out, but never mind. So, the psalmist declaring, I lift my eyes to the mountains. It really does remind us that our health and strength comes from God alone. Emphasizes God's unfailing compassion and concern for his people, regardless of the challenges, the obstacles we face. We all have things in our lives which are difficult, but God's unfailing compassion is for us. I just want to remind you, before we move on to the next point, of a couple of verses that you know extremely well, I'm sure. Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And in Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right, my next point. I think they get shorter as you go along, so don't worry. So point two, God's unfailing protection and grace. The psalmist further affirms, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, in verse 3 and 4. This powerful imagery assures us of God's constant vigilance and protective grace. It conveys the message that God is always attentive to our needs and is actively involved in safeguarding us, demonstrating his unceasing grace and compassion. So God keeps watch over us now, just like he did over Israel and over everybody in the past and will for everybody to come in the future. So the Lord is described as he who watches over, some versions say, keeps you, guards you, and he who keeps Israel as personal protector to them will keep us now. Tells us, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. So, unlike in this country, although I think today's maybe proven me slightly wrong, the sun can be a danger in the Middle East. It can literally make somebody collapse and not be able to get up again. It is an image for peril, for danger. And we know of people who protect us like soldiers. If they fall asleep, they can become very vulnerable. He can easily be attacked then by the enemy. So if we're not vigilant, we too can be attacked from the devil. But even if our attention slackens and we fall asleep, our Lord does not. He protects us. He is always awake and alert. So if only we humans could keep watch like God does. I'm reminded of a couple of verses or a couple of occasions in the New Testament when Jesus and then Paul stresses the importance of keeping watch. You know these well, I'm sure. So at the moment of Jesus' suffering, or when the moments of his suffering and death approached, he asked his disciples to keep watch. This was going to be a profound trial for them too, not that they knew it perhaps that night. But Jesus said to them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And years later, the Apostle Paul urged his readers, be watchful, stand firm in faith. Both of those verses, both of those instructions are as relevant to us today. So what dangers threaten you, if you want to call them dangers, challenges of life? How does it help you to know that the Lord God never sleeps or slumbers? The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. I've already mentioned the Middle Eastern sun and the fact that if you're travelling in Israel, the burning sun is a serious danger, especially if you don't have enough water with you. A little shade is not only pleasant, it's vital. The other downside is it can become freezing cold at night in these mountains. We have it easy if we go camping or if we go everywhere. We make sure we've got all the right equipment. So in this Psalm 121, we're reminded of how Lord God is guiding, is watching over us at all times and is with us in the dangers we face, the challenges we face. He can, because he never sleeps. He can restrain the forces of nature and spiritual dangers because he is the creator of heaven and earth. He travels with us at our right hand, in the place perhaps where you'd have a protector or a lawyer might stand. This is expressed even more clearly in Psalm 16, verse 8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. When the Lord is with you, you need not have any fear. And that's true on literal journeys for which you might pray for protection, but also applies to our journey of life as a whole. Point three, God's eternal keeping and blessing. And this is, in some ways, the part of the psalm that I like the most. Psalm 121 ends with an amazing promise for people back then, but also for us to remember today. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our almighty, majestic, mighty Lord God, who created the universe, cares about each and every one of us. He cares about you, cares about me. Let's just read that again. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. This final assurance encapsulates the overarching theme of God's compassion and grace. We read of God's compassion and grace time and time again in the Bible. It assures us of God's enduring protection and blessing, encompasses every aspect of our lives, both in present and for eternity. So he gives us full protection. He keeps us from all evil. He keeps your whole body, body and soul. He keeps you from beginning to end. From the moment you leave your home to travel to work or go to the shops, or wherever else you're going, until the moment you return home. And all that applies forevermore. In your Bibles, I think it's the word keep. I can't remember which way around it is now. Or have I got the word keep in the NIV? Which word did you have? I can't. Yeah, it is keep. And you'll notice if you just look down that chapter, that psalm, that this word keeps coming up. When I teach English, I prefer to teach maths, but one of the language features you ask students to look for is repetition. It involves intentionally using a word or phrase multiple times for effect. Repetition can create emphasis, rhythm, help you notice the main point. So from verse 3 to the end, six times, one's a bit iffy, but six times that we're told that God will keep us, he will guard us, he will watch over us. And that was essential for the people back then to keep being reminded, but also for us today. And I find it so comforting that the Lord is always there in times of need and in good times. He's always there with us in those difficult tasks and in those everyday chores. He is there when things are going well and when you're content and happy, but also when things are difficult and you're down or depressed. He knows what is best for me and for you, and he will protect us. There is no circumstance imaginable beyond God's presence. Rob reminded us when he explored Psalm 73 at the start of the month that God will hold on to us and take us to glory. Our God is a good God, and he really cares about us. I'll just remind you of those points we've looked at. God's ever-present compassion, God's unfailing protection and grace, and God's eternal keeping and blessing. So as we think about Psalm 101, as we close, remember, a God is somebody who watches over and protects. Just want to read that last verse from the Message. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. So just want to give you a moment of quiet, really, to just remember that and to just bring any needs or concerns, challenges that you have to God, because he never leaves you and he looks after you. We thank you, Lord God, for this reminder of your unwavering compassion and grace towards us. We thank you for the encouragement to continue to trust in your constant care and protection, knowing that you are always watching over us with love and grace. As we journey through life's challenges, let us take comfort in your unchanging nature of compassion and grace. Help us to find strength and hope in your faithful presence. Let's leave you with the verse from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Thank you.
Should we end with the grace?
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.